We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari American, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by DraftKings.com, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use the promo code ROTOHOOPS when you deposit for a free contest entry today. It is Wednesday, October 14th, 2015. I'm DJ Trainer, joined as always on Wednesdays by Josh Hayes. You can find Josh on Twitter at JoshHayesFS. And on Twitter, you can find me absolutely nowhere. My Twitter account was shut down last week for suspicious activity outside of my hands. So maybe next week I'll have a new Twitter handle for everyone to follow at me or follow me at. It's really unfortunate. Josh, you know, maybe next week I can get that going.
What happened to your Twitter account? This is scandalous. We have to address this immediately.
So what happened? I just go to favorite a tweet one day, and then I clicked favorite tweet, and it said this action cannot be performed. We think it's suspicious activity. Look into things further. I'm not able to do anything. I guess somebody hacked into my account and just started doing a bunch of crazy stuff. And so I said, well, you know what? No problems. I'll figure this out. This happens to people. I've seen it happen to famous people. Mm-hmm. And the only thing you need is to do the account verification to the email address you set it up with. Right. I was early to the game with Twitter, and so It was like 8 years ago or something crazy. It was my very first Hotmail address that also was shut down for suspicious activity. So I have no way to recover my Twitter list, and those 100 plus followers, they're just all gone. And I wish there was a way to just move them over to my new account, but I think I'm going to just start from scratch next week. So for those listening, next week I might drop it on air for the first time, and you might be my very first follower. See if I can get back up into the hundreds, 200s. I guess I can lie about how many I had. Hopefully I can get my 40,000 followers back. We'll see what happens. Anyways, thanks so much for joining us. This is a 5 days a week podcast, if you haven't noticed. New hosts every week, or every day of the week, I should say. Yesterday, maybe you caught me and Nick Whalen on Tuesday's podcast. We talked about rookies and how, about pretty much how I don't draft rookies ever in anything but Dynasty formats. If you want to check that out, go ahead and give it a listen on iTunes or Stitcher. While you're there, feel free to leave us a nice review. Today, me and Josh are going to talk about our all sleeper teams and our do not draft lists. Without further ado, Josh, why don't we just start with our point guards? We each have different all sleeper teams. I'll let you kick it off, and we'll just kick it off with the point guards.
Well, I'm going to go with a reigning dunk champ here in Zach LaVine. And just sort of a little point of disclosure here, he played a fair amount of point guard last season, so he should be point guard eligible across all season-long sites. But currently, he's slotted to play alongside Ricky Rubio at the two. I'm hoping that something, something, I don't want to say something bad happens to Ricky Rubio, but it's just like Minnesota management wakes up and realizes that they just need to give Zach LaVine the keys to the car, and they would be better off with Kevin Martin and Zach LaVine in the lineup rather than Ricky Rubio dominating the ball. I love the fact that, you know, Rubio is a great distributor, but he's just pretty much bad everywhere else in terms of fantasy, in terms of defense, shooting, whatever you want to, you know, slate him on. He's super efficient from a point guard aspect, but Zach LaVine to me has a little Russ Westbrook swag in him, and I want to see him have that ability, and he's not going to be able to get that if he has to play off the ball at the two behind Rubio. So love him for the upside. He's shown that he can be a go-to guy, but I think we maybe might have talked about this a little bit last week on some show. There's so many different shows that I've been on between now and then. Somewhere on air, I talked about Zach LaVine potentially being who put up like 30 and 11 on the Warriors, so like in the last week or two of the season in 2014/15. So I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, 25 a night or anything like that, but the price tag is very affordable. I think he's got like a 13th round ADP or something like that, and you know, now that he's going to be starting over Kevin Martin, I'm all in.
Right. So Kevin Martin might be the wild card. So Kevin Martin obviously can start at the shooting guard position in the NBA. He's done it quite a bit. Pretty underwhelming for a career, maybe based on expectations. Josh, I'm just gonna point you out here. To close the season, LaVine had 37 points against the Warriors. So just short of that 40, he played 45 minutes in that game, had 9 rebounds and 4 assists. He had a really, really impressive end to the season. And for a 19-year-old rookie last year, I think there's a lot of room for improvement. And in terms of sleepers, I think he's a grade A sleeper since he has that point guard eligibility. Quick little LaVine story. Me and my buddy Zach Patterson, who nobody should know that name except Zach Patterson, always go on a big road trip every single year. And this year we swung down to Arizona, drove up the coast of California all the way up to Seattle, came back, and he dropped me back in Madison. When we were in the middle of Washington State, we were at a gas station, and I was just pumping my gas, and I see this guy get out of an Escalade. He walks into the gas station, and I'm like, that's an NBA player. And I'm trying to see his face. He comes out of the gas station, and it's Zach LaVine. And nice. I'm thinking, I have to talk to him. We're like out in the middle of nowhere. He's rolling deep. He has an Escalade. He has a Beamer. He has like 5 guys with him. He has maybe 3 girls were with him. So a big crew. And I couldn't think of anything to say. So as I walked by, I just said, hey, Zach, you're the man. And then he just shot up the deuces to me and said, appreciate it, bro, appreciate it. And that was it. That was my little Zach LaVine story in the middle of Washington State. And so if he goes on to have an amazing season, he's got the DJ boat of confidence for sure.
It's going to be because of that interaction. He was going to go 2 ways about it. He was like, maybe I should just be a secondary role player. Mm-hmm. And then after he met with you, now he's like, gosh darn it, I'm battling for the starting shooting guard position. Yep. I'm going in there. Oh, no. Tell KG and management, start me.
No doubt else. About it. I mean, you know what? I'll just say it right now publicly. You're welcome, Zach. You, sir, are welcome.
Yes.
Dunk champion didn't propel your career. That meeting in Washington State did. All right. I'm sure that somebody will mention quite a bit. Maybe he'll reach out to me on text later on in the season. Let's look at my all-sleeper team. And for point guard, stick with me here. I have Damian Lillard. Obviously, everybody knows who Damian Lillard is, and probably a lot of people aren't necessarily sleeping on him. Mm-hmm. I think last week on the podcast, Josh, We talked about there's nobody else on his team that can score. CJ McCollum, who's the guy that you're going to mention here in just a second, might be the second most viable scorer on that team. Lillard is going to have the green light to do whatever he wants, and I think that he could work his way, one of my bold predictions, into a top five ranked fantasy player this season, just because he, like an expression you like, he has the keys to the car in Portland, and he's just going to have so much room and just a green light, room to do whatever he wants. He's going to jack up so many shots. I think people are sleeping on him in the aspect that he could be a top five fantasy player this year. Do you agree with that, or think I'm a little bit twisted?
No, I don't think you're a little bit twisted. I think that I don't know if he can reach top five status. I think he can definitely crack the top 10, top eight. And in terms of top five, I think he can be a top five scorer in the NBA. I won't be surprised if he leads the league in scoring personally, because if you take a look at everybody else who is in the mix this year, the only person who has like a absolute clear path to jack 40 shots a night if they want to is James Harden on their team, and maybe Anthony Davis. But Anthony Davis, even when he was having that beastly season that he had last season, he still only averaged 24 a game, and he was willing enough to let Ryan Anderson get some shots, Tyreke Evans get some shots, Eric Gordon get some shots. You never felt like he was going to play consistent. He didn't have that little sort of James Harden, Russell Westbrook runs where he just went for 40, went for 40, went for 37. His game scoring log is like just somewhat uneven. If you take a look at some of the monster games, 24 points a game is definitely nothing to sneer at, but you would just see him like every so often pop up with like a 19 point night or, a 17 point performance there as well. So I don't know if he's gotten into the full best player in the game, I should be scoring 30 a night type mentality there. So yeah, just taking a look at some of the stretches, he had a nice run to finish out the season with 24 points or more, but before that he had a 19 point game, then a 12 point game, then he goes for 29, then he goes for 19, then he goes for 20 points and 20 points there again. So the difference between him and Damian Lillard is Damian Lillard, if he's on fire, there isn't even anybody he should really honestly be passing to on a consistent basis. He could be putting up 40 points a night the same way where Carmelo was. It might be like just like the point guard version of Carmelo, from the last 2 years for the New York Knicks. So I'm with you there as well.
Let's talk about one guy that he might end up passing the ball to. He'll do it a little bit at least. Your shooting guard sleeper, CJ McCollum. I think that's a good pick for pretty much the same reasons why we mentioned with Lillard. They're simply in the rebuilding stage, and there's just a lot of room for people to be taking shots in Portland.
Yeah, you know what? And I think for the time being, it may potentially benefit CJ McCollum that he's, as far as the depth chart goes, slotted behind Gerald Henderson in this lineup, because that Damian Lillard is going to polarize a lot of the shots and be a ball dominator. So he can become off and just and be a really strong bench scorer for them. But I think when you see the lack of overall punch that lineup's going to have, and when you're looking at a front line of Myers Leonard and Mason Plumlee, who I actually like and is on my list as well, they're probably going to have to figure out how to get CJ McCollum into this lineup to sort of replace the Wes Matthews, LaMarcus Aldridge, Nicholas Batum portion of their offense that they lost. And you sort of see him, 25 minutes, just on 4 days ago against Sacramento Kings, he goes for 30, 11 for 20, 5 for 10 from deep. He can shoot it from everywhere, just like Damian Lillard. I think Damian Lillard's a little bit of a better shooter, and he's a well-rounded player. He's no less than 4 assists in all 4 games this preseason there. So you're going to get super value. Make sure you go out of your way and snap him up around before you think he's actually going to be taken in your draft. CJ McCollum is your guy this year. 121 O rank, I'll draft him. I would draft him as early as the 8th, 9th round.
There you go. Right from Josh. I pretty much am going to agree with everything you said there, Josh, especially in terms of where to draft him. Coming back to my team, my shooting guards, my all-sleeper team, my shooting guard, I have Gerald Green. And let me tell you why. It's a guy, obviously, that's been in the league for quite some time. He's 29 years old. He's always filled in. Freak athlete. The guy can hop out of the gym, if you love overly used expressions. And the last 2 years in Phoenix, he's really performed admirably. 2 years ago, he played all 82 games, averaged 28 minutes a game, almost 16 points, 3.5 rebounds, 1.5 assists, a full steal, almost a full steal, half a block, and 2.5 three-pointers. Last year, tapered off a little bit, 74 games, 19.5 minutes with just 12 points a game. But here's the situation. Let me set the table for Gerald Green and why people are overlooking him this year. He's slotted behind Dwayne Wade in the shooting guard spot. We know that Dwayne Wade can sit on the bench for extended periods of time with whatever injury might have you, right? So let's just say that Wade has to sit for 15 games in the season. The only guy that Gerald Green is going to compete for minutes with if Wade is completely out of the lineup is Justice Winslow. And maybe Justice Winslow can hit the ground running and do good things, but if he doesn't and it turns out he really needs some time, maybe the D-League is too much of a stretch, but if he just needs time to develop, Gerald Green is going to be slotted into some big minutes if Wade comes across an injury. So I feel pretty confident taking Green with maybe one of my last few picks in standard size leagues. What do you think about that, Josh?
I love Gerald Green. I always felt like he just got sort of unlucky with getting tagged as a dunker only out there in Boston when he started his career. Every single time they vaulted him into the lineup out there in Phoenix, he made it rain. And the other thing that I loved about him is he worked hard enough on his game to be a consistent 3-point threat, along with an absolute monster putting the ball on the dribble and taking it to the rack. So I think should be a starter somewhere in this league. And it's just sort of unfortunate that he keeps getting thrown into the 6-man role, which he's decent and good at. But I hope that he gets an opportunity and it's probably not going to be here. With the Miami Heat for as long as Dwayne Wade is healthy, which is an absolute question, like you mentioned. So who knows? Maybe Dwayne Wade goes out for an extended period of time again and he can get 40 games worth of starts. And you're going to feel like everybody who took a chance on Green the last couple seasons are going to feel the same exact way. They're like, I got him for next to nothing. I got him off the waiver wire. I drafted him towards the end of my draft. And now I've got a legit starter playing at a top 75 level. So love the pick all around.
Let's move it right along then. Small forward for Josh is Jeremy Grant. Not Jerian Grant, the rookie out of Notre Dame, but Jeremy Grant, probably the lesser-known Grant out in Philadelphia. Right now, he plays in the forward position, and you'd have to say that he's slotted behind Nerlens Noel for minutes off the bench. Josh, what do you think he's going to do this year?
Well, to me, Jeremy Grant is an athletic freak. To me, he's actually better suited for the 3 than the 4. He is big enough to play the 4, but he's actually 6'8". But if you look at his wingspan, I think he's got like a 47-foot wingspan. So
47-foot. Wow.
Yeah.
He's gonna be good. He should be good. He should be a good NBA player.
He's gonna block shots without having to travel past half court. So wow. It's amazing. But in
he's
all seriousness,
definitely a sleeper. Yeah, he's a sleeper for sure then.
Yeah. So if you take a look at the depth chart right now, the main reason why he is a sleeper is because he's behind Robert Covington, and he got a couple shots at some starts last season, but he was a raw young player in the league who hasn't really refined his game. He's been working on his outside shot in the offseason, so that gives me some encouragement. What I do want to see in actuality happen is either him get big minutes as a 6-7-8 man in that rotation off the bench, or actually overtake the position from Robert Covington, because I think he has a little Tracy McGrady in him. Whoa. In terms of just mismatch, athletic guy who can score from inside and outside, but he has to be able to nail that outside shot. His outside shot has been wildly inconsistent in his his first full season there in Philadelphia. But I'm telling you right now, he's an absolute mismatch who he'll palm a ball just off the block coming off of a weak side block for help, and he'll come back and dunk with the best of them. So
all right, Josh, I got some bones to pick with you. I got two things we got to get straight here.
Okay.
Your love for comparing current Philadelphia 76ers to all-time great NBA players is verging out of control right now. So Jeremy Grant, you just compared to Tracy McGrady. Last week, you compared Jahlil Okafor to Tim Duncan in veteran savviness with blocking shots, never leaving the ground. I just want to say you only get 3 for an entire season. Okay. Comparing 76 players to all-time greats, you're off to an abnormally fast start. So just you're fair warned there. My second thing to pick with. Oh, go ahead.
All right, I'll just
defend yourself,
say that,
sir.
Okay, thank you very much. We're talking about one small skill set. I didn't say he's going to the Hall of Fame like Tim Duncan. I said he blocked a shot. Like, you know, Tim Duncan, his toes are always touching the floor when he blocks a shot. That's all I was saying with Jalil Okafor. He didn't even get off the floor, and he just put his hand up, and I was like, and the guy still blocked it. It was amazing. Now, I'm just talking about with Jeremy Grant, like, athletic ability at the three, because you know you have different types of threes. Threes who are a little bit bigger and slow, but can, you know, shoot from outside, and then you have the sick versatile threes who probably can play 2, 3, 4. You know, in the league, like the Paul Georges and LeBron James, and you know, and the like. And then I don't know where Jimmy Grant fits in that, but he's an athletic monster. Does he put it all together, or does he become Darius Miles? He could be either one. Have I evened myself out here with some Darius Miles talk?
There you go. Now, yeah, I think it's only fair to bring in Darius Miles into this conversation. All right, so you redeemed yourself. You're still going to be on a strict watch, though. I want you to keep yourself conserved there. Okay. Keep your hat on. But here's my other bone to pick with you, is I got Robert Covington as my sleeper small forward, and you were just talking about Grant stealing some minutes there. So okay. I think Robert Covington right now, he's a guy that if you're looking at the preset rankings on take whatever website you want, if it's Yahoo, if it's ESPN, he's severely undervalued on those websites. So that what that means is when you're drafting – pretty much everyone, especially inexperienced NBA fantasy players, so the real people like us out there, they're just going to take whoever's on that first listed suggested rankings, right? And so Robert Covington is absolutely buried on each one of those lists. I think he should be drafted in the top 100. He does a lot of things, and he proved it last year. Josh, like you said, my only concern is that he could lose out minutes, because if he goes to another NBA team, he's probably just a guy off the bench on the Sixers. He's a fantasy wonder. Last year, he almost averaged 14 points, almost 5 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 1.4 steals, 0.4 blocks, and get this, 2.4 three-pointers. If he puts those points up again, he's easily in the top 100. And so he's my sleeper because most people don't know his name. According to Josh, though, he might end up losing some minutes to Jeremy Grant. So who knows? We'll see how that situation shakes out. The battle of the sleepers, I guess, huh?
Yeah, you know what? Here's what I think actually happens in this spot, okay? I actually have Sauce Castillo, and we're going to get to him in a few months once we get to our bench guys, so I'll put that on pause, okay? But just to unveil, we're going to do some Sacramento Kings history up training here, DJ, just so you know, throughout the season. Sauce Castillo is actually Nick Stauskas, and he is the way he got that nickname is epic. So you'll like that story, but I'll press pause on that for now. If you ask me, if I'm Brett Brown, okay, what I do is I start Jeremy Grant at the three, and I start Robert Covington at the two, and I bring Sauce Castillo off the bench. Okay. So that's having said that, if they leave it intact and he does what he's currently projected to do on, you know, according to these depth charts that are all across the league, and you can check them out on RotoWire as well. Sauce Castillo is projected to start at the two. So now we're basically going to have all the Sixers covered between two of these three guys, or maybe at least one of these three guys are going to be from our all sleeper team are going to break out, and one of us is going to be right. So that's the only thing I really want to say about that before we move on.
There we go. So moving on to power forward, we'll stick with me here. Josh Smith. Los Angeles Clippers. A lot of people probably don't even know that he moved over to Los Angeles and he's going to be playing under Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers is a guy that really gets the best out of his players. I don't know how he does it, but he kind of rejuvenates careers. I don't know. Whatever he did to DeAndre Jordan really worked out well. Not saying Josh Smith is going to do anything you know, within that realm. But if you're looking at deeper leagues, I think Josh Smith is going underrated for sure. So right now he's probably in that spot where he's going to back up Paul Pierce at the small forward. But most importantly, he'll be behind Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. If he sees, I don't know, if he ends up seeing 24 to 26 minutes a game, I think he's going to be pretty valuable in deeper formats. In general, I just haven't heard any Josh Smith talk at all, so I think he's a sleeper. Someone to keep your eye on, someone who's a proven commodity for points, rebounds, even assists, steals, and blocks. He shoots the three, probably a little bit too much. Obviously, field goal percentage is sitting in the low 40s, and the free throw percentage is absolutely horrendous. He didn't even make it to 50% last year between Detroit and Houston. But on the overall, I think he's a sleeper, someone to keep your eye out in the later rounds of standard size league drafts.
I think you made a case for the do not draft list for Josh Smith. Is what it sound like. And like he doesn't shoot 50% from three. He shoots too many threes. He's on a new team, you know.
Well, if you're just doing counting stats, I mean, he's almost averaged 1-3 for the last three seasons. The thing is that he just hits everywhere. If you're looking for blocks, almost a block and a half on 27 minutes per game last year. He just, for counting stats, Josh Smith really is a good NBA player, a good NBA fantasy NBA player. The free throw percentage and the bonehead things that we hear in the media, and even the way he acts on the court sometimes as a ball hog, maybe makes you shy away. But if I did a blind stats reveal or a box score reveal, and you saw those stats, I think people would be enticed on average.
Okay, so this is the way I look at it here. For me personally, I think what you're going to have, Josh Smith is enticing because of the, you know, the production that he used to put up. I just feel like he's just not that player anymore. If you watch some TV during NBA, you watch ESPN, what you're going to see is you're going to see one of those, you know, feed the hungry commercials, you know, send just a dollar today. Yeah, dollar a day. And you're going to see Josh Smith in the background because there's way too many mouths to feed already in Clipperland. Oh, and wow. Josh Smith is not going to be one of them. He's going to go starving.
That took a long time to develop, but it really came around strong.
Okay, I'm glad that you're with me here. You got Chris Paul, you've got J.J. Redick, you got DeAndre Jordan, you got Blake Griffin. Tell me how this guy's going to get more than 12 shots. I just don't see it.
If there's anybody that could find a way to find shots when there's no shots to be found, it's Josh Smith. So
that is true. You know what he's going to do? He's going to like block DeAndre Jordan at the rim and then dunk it himself.
If that happens, that'll just be too awesome. Let's keep it moving, though. David Lee is your power forward. Josh, can you please explain yourself? Because if you're talking about age here, if you're complaining about age for Josh Smith and that he's seen his better days, I think that same argument applies to Mr. David Lee.
He does, but you know what? He's fresh. If you
wait, how is he fresh? Just because of the last season he was on the bench so much?
Yes, exactly. He was on the bench so long he got splinters in his derriere. I was like, if you went up to David Lee in Boston right now during a preseason game, you would feel like you just opened up a bag of Ziploc. He's so fresh. Okay, this guy has. I think he played 3 minutes in the entire playoffs. Last year against Cleveland, when that series was well out of hand, you knew the Warriors were already winning. And but in all seriousness, he's going to have a serious role. We know that Jared Sullinger, career underachiever, probably has the biggest size shorts in the NBA for among everybody. I don't believe the whole "I'm getting in shape this year and I'm going to take it serious." You should have been doing that in college at Ohio State. I don't know why it took, David Lee to come on over, or the, maybe the last season of his rookie contract for him to, light a fire under him. But David Lee is a polished guy who can score inside and outside, and they need a solid front court presence. They got rid of Brandon Bass. You're never excited about Tyler Zeller or Amir Johnson, or even Kelly Olynyk, who I always had an affinity for, but for whatever reason, Brett Brown doesn't trust him enough to consistently play him. But I do feel like David Lee is going to be that guy who's going to be, 18 plus points with 8 to 10 rebounds a game, which is super serviceable for where you get to draft him.
That's a bold prediction. My only reservation for picking David Lee or really any front court option in Boston is, let me just lay them all out here. You have David Lee, Amir Johnson, who started in Toronto for the past few years. He's a solid cog in a nice NBA playoff team. Tyler Zeller, Kelly Olynyk, and then Jordan Mickey, who I believe Coach Brad Stevens actually came out today and said that Jordan Mickey was the best player on the team. So take that for what you want. It's pretty much like Larry Bird saying that Miles Turner is the best shooter on their team. Anyways, it sounds like Jordan Mickey might be thrown into that rotation at all. It's just too many mouths to feed, Josh. And I don't know if there's enough room or time on the court for David Lee to average 18 and 10. It just seems like a big leap to me. But, I mean, because I think that way, that makes him a sleeper. And so, I mean, to have him on your team, of course, it makes sense. 18 and 10, you think, you know, give me a percentage on if you think that's possible to attain for him.
50, it's a coin flip if he's 18-10. He's probably more closer to like 15-7. But because they're such ball sharers out there in Boston, and they can't remember the last time they had a 20-point score since the Brad Stevens era, and it should be Isaiah Thomas. But if they continue to start Marcus Smart, I'm going to pull whatever hair that I have left out, which is not that much, and you know, and scream, because Isaiah Thomas should be playing 38 minutes, not 28 minutes. And that's probably like the 17 million time I've ranted about this. But if you get into the if that's the case, that actually probably helps David Lee's case. If you're going to put Marcus Smart on the floor, who, you know, is going to have to bring a can of orange paint with him if he's going to continue to shoot from outside. So we'll see how that ends up happening.
All right, so I already said Josh Smith. You just said David Lee. We're moving into the final players of our all-sleeper team here on this RotoWire Fantasy NBA, or RotoWire Fantasy Basketball podcast. My center is Jordan Hill. So right now, I just mentioned Miles Turner. Apparently, Larry Bird thinks that Miles Turner is the best shooter on the Indiana Pacers. That is totally infactual. It's not factual at all. There's no way that's true. I think he's either trying to aggravate the other players on his team or something else. Right now, Jan Mahimi is a projected starter for the Pacers. I just don't think that's sustainable throughout the course of the season. Me and Nick debated for about 5 minutes on yesterday's podcast about that. So to just sum it up, Jordan Hill really didn't perform that poorly last year in Los Angeles for the Lakers. This year, if he's seeing somewhere close to 26 minutes, I think he's going to be valuable in deeper leagues. I'll just drop his stat line from last year. Last year, he played 70 games. He averaged 27 minutes, 12 points, almost 8 rebounds, 1.5 assists, half a steal, 0.7 blocks, and perhaps more importantly, he shot 46% from the field. Obviously, that's not great, but more so what I meant is he shot 74% from the free throw line. If Jordan Hill is playing 27 minutes like he did last year, he's a guy I'm going to want to target in pretty much every single league, because everybody's looking at this Miles Turner kid who's been a labeled project, and he might not even see that much time on the court this year if Jordan Hill and Jan Mahimi can handle the load at center, the both of them.
Yeah, you know what? I actually think that Mahimi is going to be the guy sitting on the sidelines when it's all said and done, and you're going to see a Miles Turner, Jordan Hill front court, and it really doesn't matter who plays the four or the five. It probably makes a little bit more sense for Jordan Hill, me personally, to be starting at the four, because I think he's just a little bit undersized as a center. He's not a super great defender at the rim, but he is super scrappy and will rebound a ton. So that sounds more like a serviceable four than a five to me. But either way, we don't care about that. All we care that he's center eligible in fantasy, and that makes for a good sleeper in that spot. So for me, I'm going with Frank the Tank, because I don't want to name names, but somebody wasn't an exact fan of the Robin Lopez experience. I think he feels more like he's a sideshow Bob Simpsons type than an actual legit threat at the NBA center position.
I have a feeling I know who you're talking about, and I wasn't necessarily clowning on Lopez. I think I was just tempering your expectations, because you were
cold
super
water.
High on them. I was pouring cold water on your expectations of Mr. Lopez.
I mean, you didn't like that I compared him to like Bob Lanier and David Robinson and, you know,
all the all-time greats.
Yes, of history. So we're not going to go there. We're going to go with Frank the Tank, rookie, who I believe looks like he's going to get center eligibility, as far as I can tell, which to me doesn't exactly make sense. I know that maybe makes sense for college, but I mean, if you see what's happening here, you know, Al Jefferson is the man in the middle. So what's probably going to happen at some point, depending on, you know, how Yahoo does all their you know, qualifications, Frank the Tank is going to get forward eligibility along with center. So that's going to be great. That's going to be useful for you. So if you maybe think about drafting him at the center position and plan on being able to use him in both on Yahoo. I don't know where he is in terms of eligibility at ESPN, but I just have that for reference. Having said that, I like the fact that we're talking about a stretch four, maybe a cheapy Ryan Anderson type that will rebound inside, is a decent passer, come up with 11 rebounds. in 27 minutes against Miami, who has a pretty decent front line out there. I don't know how many minutes Bosch and Whiteside played, but that's more than holding your own out there. And he has hit 4 of 7 from three in preseason. I know this is the smallest sample of all time, but it's literally all we have to go on here in the preseason. And we're talking about a flyer to a rookie that you can more than likely get past the 10th round. If you have to pay above the 10th, you know, earlier than the 10th round for him, I don't necessarily like it. So just a guy that I think is going to be useful, serviceable for some threes at the center position. And one thing I always like with my centers is a guy who's not going to kill you at the free throw line. I have a no tolerance policy for bad free throw shooters, especially in rotisserie leagues in the NBA. And you definitely don't have that with Frank Kaminsky, who we know can shoot quite well. So not super exciting, but probably more upside than people are planning with him. You've seen what's been happening the last few years with failed forward after failed forward being drafted in Charlotte with Bismack Biyombo and Cody Zeller. Kaminsky is not that. He's a much more polished player and a better scorer, which you're going to like in your fantasy leagues.
I talked at length about Frank Kaminsky yesterday on yesterday's podcast with Nick Whalen. So if you want to find out my thoughts, feel free to download it there. I will give you a little teaser. I did tell an amazing story that involved my girlfriend's mom, a cafe barista, the town of Charlotte, and Frank Kaminsky. So if you want to find that out, go ahead and listen to the last 5 minutes of yesterday's podcast. But as for now, fantasy football just got a whole lot more interesting. Week 6, DraftKings will be hosting yet another Millionaire Maker event with $1.2 million going to first place. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code ROTOWIRE to play free with your first deposit on DraftKings. That's promo code ROTOWIRE for a free entry now with your first deposit on DraftKings.com. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Moving on, Josh, to our do not draft list, aka, as you have put it, the all AARP team. I'll just go ahead and let you break down your entire team because it's a thing of beauty, this AARP team.
Right. I mean, so if you aren't very close to collecting Social Security, you do not qualify for this team. I'm just going to let you know, with the exception of Ricky Rubio, who I'll make an exception for any time possible for people to not draft that guy. Because to me, in terms of NBA's point guards, it's a different scenario. Fantasy point guards, to me, like I've mentioned time and time again, I just never want anything to do with him for a myriad of reasons. So Tony Parker, 704 years old. What does he have? 4 NBA championships, 5 NBA championships. Great player, great. You know, probably going to the Hall of Fame. Significantly trending downwards in terms of minutes production. If you've seen what they've done at the point guard rotation, they've done the Patty Mills, Corey Joseph, Tony Parker, 3-man-headed monster at the point guard position to sort of keep him healthy, and he still got injured last season. So I don't expect it to be any different this year. It's just instead of Corey Joseph, it's going to be Ray McCallum in that 3-man mix. So Dwayne Wade, another guy who's would see the thing that happens here with this AARP team, and a common theme, it's guys who have such brand name recognition that people always fall into the trap to. I always can't wait to see. It's like watching MacGyver with a ticking time bomb. Like, how many minutes is it going to take for somebody to fall into the Dwayne Wade trap in the top 50? You know, you just see like the dynamite stick lighting, and it's going to boom, round 3, pick, you know, 34 overall. Somebody did it. They took Dwayne Wade. I feel bad for that team. That team lost. So that's me with Dwayne Wade. I don't want to mess with them. Every year that he gets older, that knee, degenerative knee issue has to get worse. And all the more reason for us to pick on guys like you mentioned here in Gerald Green. I'd much rather be on that side. Kobe Bryant, another guy, Hall of Famer. I honestly think that you're going to see him either get injured at some point during the season once again, or he's going to be monitored so, you know, closely in terms of minutes that you're not going to really like it, at least at the beginning of the season, you know, with him playing like 23, 25, 28 minutes. And to me, he's just like, if you saw what was happening him last season, as he was struggling through a terrible Laker team, and this team is not a ton better. It is better, but not a ton better. You could just see it was just all on him, and he was shooting like at Allen Iverson levels in terms of field goal percentage, and not in a good way. So he's going to be over relying on his jumper because he can't score from off the dribble anymore, and it's just not somebody between that and the health issues that I really want to mess around with. Dirk Nowitzki, Once again, Mark Cuban and Rick Carlisle have said they're going to cut his minutes even further, and he's actually talked about potentially coming off the bench if they got LaMarcus Aldridge, so that should tell you everything you need to know about him. He actually performed quite well in terms of overall averages, which is going to make him, to me, somebody that looks good and is going to be definitely overdrafted coming into Dallas. Fans will be like, I got to take my boy. You know, I got.
I've had Nowitzki for 5 years. I got to keep it running.
Oh, yeah, this is the year. One last championship. I got to be in. You know, so no, thank you on Dirk Nowitzki. And then Tim Duncan. We talked about this. To me, he's an interchangeable piece with LaMarcus Aldridge. He doesn't have to. The fact that they have LaMarcus Aldridge means that they can take even you know, more pressure off of him in the front court and rest him even more throughout the season. So he keeps defying the odds and keeps becoming fantasy relevant. I don't know how. I just don't want to be involved. So, and then I'll just sort of save the bench so you can get into the mix with yours.
Yep. Yeah. Let me step in here and just say that I completely agree with you, Josh, on everything you just said. Now, if you listened to me yesterday, and if you listened to the first few podcasts we've done so far here, you know that I really don't draft rookies. I don't approach rookies under any circumstances because I think over the long run, if you consistently avoid rookies from year to year, you're going to end out on top based on how many busts there are out there for the rookie class. Same thing pretty much with all the players you just mentioned. Maybe, I think we talked about this last week too, Josh, I'm actually going to play a little defense, and I know this is kind of crazy, and we're really getting into some scheming on draft night, but Parker, Wade, Bryant, Nowitzki, and Duncan are all guys that are going to be drafted too high for people that really aren't up to the know in fantasy. And so if you got a few guys like that in your league, they're going to be drafting players they know. They're going to draft them too high. So not only maybe are you avoiding a situation where their minutes are going to be eased off throughout the season, but you're playing defense, so another team in your league is wasting a spot on a well-known guy that's really not that valuable where he's drafted. And so with that being said, of course, they said all my rookies I usually shy away from, big name players who are their minutes are waning. You just went over that, Josh. Completely agree. I'm going to throw two more categories in there for me personally that I on my personal do not draft list, and then we'll let you get to your bench, and then we'll put a nice bow on this podcast. So you just talked about a little bit earlier, I'm sticking away from every single Charlotte power forward. There are just too many there in the mix. Yeah, I like Frank Kaminsky. He played a whole lot right behind me in our office here. I pretty much watched every single Wisconsin home game throughout his Wisconsin career because we were both freshmen and graduated last year together, last year in the spring. However, I'm staying away from him. I'm staying away from Cody Zeller. I'm staying away from Marvin Williams, Spencer Hawes, and yes, Tyler Hansborough. Who knows how that could all work out? I don't really see one really dominating the other. If there were one to come out on top and really steal away the most minutes, I think it would be Kaminsky just because we don't know what he has. The rest of the guys, it's all too muddled for me. I'm going to go elsewhere. Same exact situation with the Dallas centers. And Josh, if you want to step in here, I'll let you. Let me just give my spiel here. It's just there's just too many, and they could all share time. I really can't discern which one is going to come out on top to begin the season, much less three quarters of the way through the season or at the end of the season. So you have Zaza Pachulia, Samuel D'Alembert, and JaVale McGee. I could see McGee starting by the end of the season, and I could see all three of these guys starting, 30 games each? Throughout the course of the season. So all rookies, all Charlotte power forwards, and all Dallas centers are people that are on my do not draft list. Josh, you have a bench of your AARP team that you'd like to get to, right?
Actually, the bench is for the all sleeper team. So I'll wrap back to that here.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Oh, you know what? I have both.
It's so hard to tell.
You know what? I actually have both. I forgot I have both. But really quickly, to get back to your Dallas centers, I have to tell you personally, I think you're crazy. I'm drafting D'Alembert, Pachulia, and who's the third guy?
McGee.
Oh yeah, JaVale McGee. In the first, second, and third round of every draft.
Okay, and so you'll definitely get one that's gonna play the most minutes. You'll definitely be locked up there.
Who cares about, I mean, DeMarcus Cousins? Come on. Samuel Dalembert, first round. All right. And what I'm going to do is in the fourth round, I'm backing up with Eric Dampier and Sean Bradley in the fifth, just in case either one of them comes out of retirement. If there's some injury issues, then we have some former Dallas Hall of Fame centers to back them up with. So
there you go. There's Draft Strategy 101 from Josh Hayes. You can find Josh on Twitter at Josh Hayes FS.
Send all your complaints and questions to me about my Dallas center love or lack thereof. Yeah, but in all seriousness, I think that makes a ton of sense. All those positions, and along with the rookies, with a few exceptions, have been largely unproductive. So I'm with you 100%. Before I get into my my bench for the AARP team, I just want to quickly hit my all-sleeper team bench really quick. You asked about Jack-O-Lantern. There's a J in front of Jack-O-Lantern, so it's Jarrett Jack. So
we're going to Jarrett. See that.
Jarrett Jack-O-Lantern is going to be his name on the show going forward. Get him. People sort of slept on the fact that Darren Williams isn't out there in Brooklyn. And, you know, you have backup numbers from 2014 that are going to definitely take a step up for the Brooklyn Nets in 2015 with him at the controls. So I love Jarrett Jack. Mason Plumlee, he needs to redeem himself from a terrible slam dunk performance there out there in Brooklyn a couple years back. And he's now looks like the projected starting center for Portland. I think he is a smart double-double guy. You can sort of slot him in the same way that Robin Lopez was there, but you can get him like at the very end of your draft, like the last pick. Even if you've had your draft for some reason already, you can waiver claim him. He'll be useful, and he won't hurt you anywhere. As a guy who can he's a sneaky scorer, is athletic, will block a shot, and has just a nice little, you know, Duke post repertoire that's should be interesting for you in some of your fantasy leagues. I like him better than guys like Omar Asik and some of the other more popular options that are going to be overdrafted. And the last guy I want to talk about, we have to talk about Sauce Castillo. Now, the only reason he really makes this list is because he's projected to be the starting two guard, and he is a guy who could definitely make it rain from three. He's a smart basketball player. He'll come up with some sneaky assists and stuff like that. He's a total defensive liability, but that doesn't really matter for the 76ers. They're not really interested in being good. I think they want the next five number ones for the next 5 years, and then we'll talk about, you know, how good they are in 2020. But the way he actually got his nickname is somebody was watching the Sacramento Kings on closed caption, and Nick Stauskas scored a basket or had an assist, I think, and the caption said Sauce Castillo with the assist.
Yes. Okay. That's awesome. I'm glad you educated the masses, because I think I have heard that nickname, but I guess I didn't actually know the origin of it. Yes. And Sauce Castillo just is pretty much the opposite of what you'd think Stauskas would get. Stauskas would get as a nickname. So
So he got like a local hot sauce sponsorship after
that. Did
he
really?
People started showing up in what do you call those? It looks like you're wearing a rug, but it's cut through the middle. Ponchos or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, and like, you know, the big hats that you would get from Chevy's if you order a margarita and stuff like that. It was like it was an entire movement in Sacramento, because you know that season was lost.
Well, so, you know why I don't know is because nobody's watching Sacramento in the second half of the season, and I'm especially not watching for Stauskas.
Nobody's watching in the first half of the season. They're just watching it. They check the stat line to see what DeMarcus Cousins or Rudy Gay did on their fantasy team, and that's really it. So I'm probably 50% of the West Coast Sacramento TV market, and I'm fine with that.
All right.
But
I think if you don't mind, Josh, we'll go ahead and leave it there. We'll go out on top with your classic Sacramento Kings fandom. Anything that you want to add, let's put a bow on this do not draft list and your all sleeper team. Any lasting words?
Don't draft Dwight Howard. Don't draft Ricky Rubio. Don't draft David West. David West is a backup who took $10 million to squirt Gatorade into Tim Duncan and LaMarcus Aldridge's mouth and win a championship. So there you have it.
Thanks so much for joining us. Tomorrow, Nick Whalen and James Anderson will be back for their Thursday edition of the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Me and Josh will see you next week. Thanks.
They're going to kill the love of my life.
Casey!
If I don't go back to what I was doing.
This Friday.
Our line of work is quite brutal and quite ruthless.
How far would you go for love?
You steal a truck, bring it to me, then you make your money.
Is it dangerous?
Of course it's dangerous!
Nicholas Holt, Felicity Jones, with Ben Kingsley and Anthony Hopkins.
All this trouble, all this pain, for love.
Collide, in theaters Friday. Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.